Welcome to the first podcast of the Roaring Twenties. I'm sure that we are in for some wild times ahead. It seems we are much closer to the Jetsons flying car than the Duesenberg's elegant vehicles from the 1930s for personal transportation. As we start the new year, it amazes me at how many topics are being reported and showing evidence of the market accelerating in a period that typically is marked by slower times. I want to alert our listeners to some changes that are coming to our service in the new year. The first is, beginning in February, we will launch a short monthly report recapping some of the major stories in the batteries material space that will be offered complimentary. To sign up for this, please reach out to us at globalbatterymaterials@ihsmarket.com. That's all one word, at ihsmarket.com. On top of this, for our subscription clients, we will be publishing a bi-monthly focus report. The first will publish soon and provide an in-depth study of lithium-ion chemistry with supplier profiles, chemistry differences along with projections, and a few other nuggets. In addition to this, we will provide our clients with data access, including our cost curve information and supply and demand forecast and trade statistics, among other things. Let's start by hearing from Lucas on some of his observations on the market.
The last half year marked falling EV sales in China, a burst of activity in Europe, catching up on development of battery and EV supply chain, and little expected take-up on LFP chemistry adoption in energy storage and vehicles in search of cost savings. We have been bringing to you a discussion of monthly market developments and providing the most interesting themes that were discussed by the end of the year. But some numbers are out only now, so let's look again at the forest instead of individual trees and discuss what is important in a big picture from demand perspective. New years do not always bring new beginnings. Even if the stock market seemed to have reflected newly found optimism for the battery supply chain, with stocks going up on assurance of no more subsidies cuts in China and Tesla's Shanghai Gigafactory rolling out first models built on site, the actual underlying market dynamics for lithium compounds continues from the last year. China's production of power batteries came in at 6.2 gigawatt hours in December, 22.9% lower on the year and depressingly 31.4% lower on the month. Not surprisingly, lithium compound producers remain under price pressure and cathode producers still seem to remain relatively well stocked. Annual growth of new energy vehicles sales in China came negative at minus 4%, which must not be a surprise to anybody who has been watching this indicator through the last year. Nonetheless, it is not all bad, as if we look at full year production of power batteries in China, it stood at 85.4 gigawatt hours in 2019, 21% higher than in 2018. Output of ternary batteries, meaning NCM and NCA chemistries, rose a staggering 40.8% on the year. Despite dynamic growth since subsidy phase-out, on a month-over-month basis, production of LFP batteries fell 1.2% on yearly basis. So yes, maybe EVs are not selling as well as when one might expect if we speak of EV revolution, yet substantial growth in terms of gigawatt hours of power batteries produced clearly shows a positive qualitative change in adoption of bigger battery packs in terms of capacity, and keeping all other factors constant translates into higher consumption for lithium compounds. Meanwhile, South Korea, a country known for being an early adopter in a range of technologies, just think of 5G, announced plans to improve its subsidies measures. Consumers will be able to receive government subsidies as high as 18.2 million won, which is roughly $15,600 for EV purchase in 2020, an increase over 65% versus the maximum threshold last year. South Korean automakers, Kia and Hyundai, followed up with announcements of new EV sales targets and huge investment initiatives. Kia talked about investing $25 billion in its EV business, while Hyundai more than double. It does not come as a surprise, unless we think about the sheer scale of such commitments, considering the leading role of Korea's battery producers and the fact that Hyundai and Kia's EV exports increased by 128% in 2018 from the year earlier. Moreover, Kia and Hyundai, brands known for their affordability, could do a lot to increase EV market penetration, not only at home, but also abroad.
Thanks, Lucas. I agree that we need not miss the forest for the trees. Now let's hear from Lily.
News about China in lithium and the battery material sector has continued in the months of Chinese New Year. Even though many plants in China, including battery and material companies, have stopped manufacturing for the preparation of the coming New Year. China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology this month has announced new regulations for the recycling of used new energy vehicle power batteries. The regulations, with effect from the 1st January, include new recovery rates for major battery metals. The recovery rate for nickel, cobalt, and manganese should not be below 98%, while the rate for lithium must be above 85%. The regulations are expected to increase supplies of battery metals such as lithium, nickel, cobalt, and manganese. The additional supplies are likely to be mostly used in NEV batteries. However, the regulation is more of an industrial guidance and not compulsory. Companies who have existing recycling capacity can file the recycling rate to local government, which will monitor recyclers in return as per the regulation. The new regulation is revised based on an old version in 2016. Also this month, the Chinese government expressed no significant cuts in NEV subsidies in 2020. This will ensure stability in and aid to the development of the NEV industry. China domestic automakers are expected to maintain stable production and place regular orders with battery producers this year, encouraged by the announcement that NEV subsidies will not be cut sharply on the 1st July. China's new NEV production and sales are each estimated to reach 1.2 million NEVs in 2019, down from output of 1.27 million and sales of 1.26 million in 2018. The government is also planning to revise its NEV credit score program in the near term to form a long-term mechanism to develop the NEV industry. The NEV credit scheme during 2021-23 is expected to reshuffle the country's automotive manufacturing industry by encouraging more automakers to produce electric vehicles and by reducing output of vehicles running on fossil fuels. Tianqi Lithium reports that they have sold out of the output from the first phase of its lithium hydroxide plant in Kwinana, Western Australia. Via long-term contracts, mainly with consumers outside of China. The firm started trial runs at the first phase of the Kwinana plant, whose capacity expected to reach 24,000 tons a year in the first quarter of 2020. Kwinana Phase 1 production has been completed with long-term contracts to clients that include LG Chem, Northvolt, SK Innovation, and Equipon BM. China's another major lithium producer, Ganfeng Lithium, has joined Australian lithium developer Gallon Lithium's shareholder register through its wholly owned subsidiary, Ganfeng Lithium International. The move aims to boost Ganfeng's access to feedstock supplies. Gallon Lithium has 100% interest in projects located in the lithium triangle, that between Argentina, Chile, and Bolivia, which is home to the world's largest lithium brine projects and reserves.
Thanks, Lily. I believe, as you have reported, that the signal from the Chinese authorities that they are working to stabilize subsidies and expand NEV sales is a positive signal for what 2020 brings to us. From my perspective, there are several recent topics that will have an impact on the battery materials markets in 2020. In addition to the subsidy issue in China and the expansions of South Korean automakers, we have expanding pushes by global companies like Amazon to electrify their fleets. The move by Volkswagen to be involved in upstream capacity through an investment in Guoshan, a Chinese battery producer, and GM partnering with LG on a joint cell production site are concepts that I expect to see more of in 2020. I expect that many companies who are concerned about bottlenecks in their supply chain will become aggressive in having a voice in the investments made by upstream suppliers, including raw materials. In the past week, we've had a few lithium supplier announcements that have been revealing. The first was the announcement by Orocobre that they had signed agreements with two Chinese cathode makers. Without any further details, this looks rather minor to me when you recognize that the volume committed is less than 20% of their total output over the three-year period. Based on the history that Orocobre has of selling material at distressed pricing, as shown by their pricing forecast released in December, it is presumed that this also will be sold at below market value, which makes this an underwhelming announcement. On the positive front, SQM gained an ally in the courts with the Chilean environmental superintendent over the decision by a lower court. Unfortunately, the legal issues will likely slow down the expansion plans being pursued by SQM. Finally, two projects in Nevada, Ioneer and Lithium Americas, appear to be continuing their march forward. These projects will one day add capacity in North America, but will still need to overcome challenges that include economic sourcing of raw material, sulfuric acid, as well as a lack of cathode demand in North America. In closing, I would like to thank all of our listeners and also encourage you to reach out to us using the globalbatterymaterials@ihsmarket.com email, and please look forward to our updating offer. Thanks.